world this morning. It shone on grave injustice, gnawing hunger, unfulfilled dreams, and desolate lands. Oh, come, Emmanuel, you, the true light, coming to enlighten us, bring a dawning that helps us to see. It helps us see how to act justly, how to feed hunger, how to shake hope and nourish desolation. Oh, please come. God, we pray for our nation amidst ongoing division and violence. We pray for our world, for the people of Palestine and Israel as the violence resumes there after a brief truce. We pray for others caught up in conflicts around the world, for the people of Ukraine and Sudan and Nigeria. Lord, have mercy. Take this yoke from us. Relieve some of the burden on our backs. Wrap your arms around places where we feel most tender. We pray for your church, that we might be your body, heralds of the tidings of your good news of salvation this Advent season. Deliver us from cycles of violence into patterns of peace and joy. May we live into the hope of this season by word and deed with everyone we meet. May we find room for joy alongside our grief. There's room for both weariness and awe, room for faith and doubt. Nothing is too big or too far gone for your love to reach it. So with hope in our hearts, we pray, your kingdom come. Amen.
Hear these words from Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with our people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Thank you.
Sarah R. Speed. Over time, wind and water will sand down the edges of a stone. For humans, our wind and water is the grief of the world. Stay here long enough, and pieces of you will be pressed upon by life's never-ending stream. It's enough to make you weary. It's enough to make you question. It's enough to make you quiet. And yet the stream continues. So do not be afraid to stand in that water. Wade in. Soak the hem of your jeans. Drip wet footprints through every room in your house. Let the water stains tell your story. And when your body grows weary of swimming, name the stream. Acknowledge your weariness, for eventually you will pick flowers from the opposite bank, and over again we'll tell this story, and over again a weary world will rejoice.
Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. These lyrics of the beloved hymn, O Holy Night, provide the framework for our Advent season. Each week, we ask the question, how? How does a weary world rejoice? How can we, a weary people, rejoice? And each week we will turn to the Gospel of Luke, who tells the story of Jesus by interweaving Christ's birth with the parallel story of Elizabeth, Zechariah, and John the Baptist. The creative team at Sanctified Art reflected that as they explored these birth narratives told side by side, they saw the full scope of human emotions: isolation, fear, disbelief, as well as connection, trust, and joy. The Christmas season, they write, is often an emotionally charged time when we feel many things deeply, sometimes all at once. Many experience emotional dissonance in the midst of joy-filled carols and festivities. And sometimes we wonder, is that okay? Can we feel all of this at once? Should we? Kate Bowler writes, under the weight of our grief, our shame, our pain, or that of the world, we can convince ourselves that joy is the enemy, that to celebrate or feel happiness somehow mocks pain. The reality is, joy and sorrow simply coexist. A thrill of hope, and a weary world rejoices. So this morning we begin in Luke with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah, as the story tells us, is a priest, and Elizabeth could trace her lineage all the way back to Aaron, as in the brother of Moses, Aaron. They are faithful and righteous people, an older couple who have never been able to have a baby, a reality that surely brought judgment and shame to them. But I have to assume that it also brought a great deal of sadness. Pain, disappointment, grief. At the time of our story, Zechariah is serving in the temple, and he is chosen to go into the Holy of Holies in order to offer sacrifice on behalf of the people. And while he is alone in this inner chamber, the angel Gabriel sneaks up on him. Gabriel declares that he has good news. Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayers have finally been answered. They are going to have a son, a special child who will bring them joy and who will prepare Israel for the coming of the Lord. It's not surprising to me that Zechariah questions this news. How can I be sure of this? He asks. He points out that he and Elizabeth are quite old. How is he supposed to believe this? How can it be true? And often we think about this moment, this question, as being an example of not believing, of Zechariah not having enough faith. But this question, how can I be sure? I think it's so much deeper than just belief. Because I wonder how many miscarriages Elizabeth and Zechariah had endured. How many times had he gotten his hopes up, only to have them dashed again? How long had he grieved before he finally just gave up? What if his question is not just about his physical age, but about his emotional state? I hear him like this. I am too old for this foolishness. Too old to get my hopes up again. So unless you have some proof, Gabriel, I'll bid you good day and finish this offering on my own. Thank you very much. Maybe you know this place too. The place where grief or pain or loss or disappointment has hardened you against hope. The place where we close ourselves down because the hard emotions are just too difficult. And so we end up blocking out the good ones too. Maybe you have had the experience of simply not wanting any more change in your life, even if it's good change. And the only thing that makes sense to you is to keep plodding along in the same direction you've been on. This is a place where hope is dangerous because it may lead to more hurt. Now, Gabriel certainly hears Zechariah's question as a reflection of his lack of belief, and Gabriel is not happy about it. In fact, he responds with a pretty big punishment, or as we would say in our house, consequence for Zechariah. He will remain mute until the baby comes. For 9 months, he will be forced into silence. I wonder if it is possible that this consequence is not just a punishment, but if it is also a gift to Zechariah. What if it's the thing that helps him get to a new place, to a new emotional state? Periods of silence can help any of us process our emotions. They can free us from having to answer a bunch of questions from others. It can make us slow down and make room for what's going on inside of us and around us. In Jewish tradition, when a close family member dies, the family sits Shiva. It's 7 days where people come to offer their condolences, but they do not speak. They're not allowed to speak. Not until the grieving person gives them permission to do so. But they show up. They sit in silence in the midst of the variety of emotions. No one lightens the mood with a joke. No one has to figure out the right words. The silence is a gift. It allows for space. Space for the terrible pain of grief. And eventually, space to recognize that love is surrounding the grief in the people who show up. Space to let a little hope in, or to notice a tiny bit of joy right around the edges of the unthinkable. As Advent begins, what weariness are you carrying? What are the situations in your life or in your world where you feel hardened toward hope? And how might you seek to let your weariness or your grief or your pain begin to coexist alongside your joy and your hope, rather than expecting them to cancel one another out? Are there practices that you can pick up in this season that might facilitate that coexistence? Zechariah is forced into silence. It is a practice he does not choose. And yet, the next time we see him, he will have renewed his hope. Now, I don't want to suggest that silence is some sort of magic formula, but I wonder how it might create space if we let it, if we can see the gift of it. So as we take a few moments of silence right now, I hope you'll pay attention to the mixture of emotions that are present for you in this moment. Try not to push any of them away. Let them all be there. Let them coexist. Notice your hurt, your yearning, your joy, your hope. Experience the wise words of Mary Oliver. We shake with joy. We shake with grief. What a time they have, these two, housed as they are in the same body. family of faith, as you leave this place, you go into a weary world. So speak tenderly. Do the good that is yours to do. Choose connection. Hold on to hope and remember that Christ took on flesh for you. You are God's beloved. So go rejoicing. The world needs it. Amen.
Get up and stretch, and as we get things transitioned. Thank you.